Fernando truly is the child of my affections. However, both he and I have accounts to settle with eternal justice, and as for me, I am tired of running deeper into debt. I mustn't strive against the designs of God. At this point in the dialogue, the spirit clinician who had sent us there interrupted, politely informing us, "Our friend is right. Fernando can't go with her, but her maternal intercession has been so noteworthy that I have instructions to take him to a safe place, a rescue home, where he will be able to glean the most advantage from his suffering. He will be sheltered in a vibrational zone that is inaccessible to inferior and criminal influences, even though it is located in the lower regions." "Yes, I know," said Aniceto in a grave tone. "That was a very prudent move." Then, as someone who had no time to lose, he asserted, "The distress of his incarnate relatives here could make it hard for us. Notice how all of them are emitting magnetic aid in an effort to help the dying man." Indeed, a web of grayish, dimly illuminated strands seemed to link the relatives to the nearly dead patient. "Such aid," said Aniceto, "is useless now to restore him to his organic balance. We need to neutralize these energies because they are being emitted out of distress. But above all, we must provide peace of mind to the family." And moving even closer to the sufferer, he assumed the posture of a magnetizer, and declared, "Let's modify the status of the Kuma." After a few minutes of our mentor's efforts, supported by our respectful silence, we heard the incarnate doctor announce to the relatives of the dying man, "Well, his prognosis seems to have improved. Inexplicably, his pulse is almost normal and his breathing is normalizing." 307. The three women gave a sigh of relief. "Donna Amanda," said the assistant to the dying man's wife, "it would be a good idea for you to go and rest a bit, and take your sisters-in-law with you. Fernando is resting very peacefully now and his situation is truly favorable. Mr. Januario and I will continue to monitor him." The women, along with two gentlemen, who were getting ready to leave, offered contented and heartfelt thanks. The only ones who remained in the room were the doctor and one of the patient's brothers. His sudden improvement had set everyone more at ease. And bit by bit the grayish strands that had been attached to the patient vanished without leaving a trace. "Let's open the window," said the doctor, satisfied. "Perhaps the air will help speed up our friend's improvement." Mr. Januario complied and opened a big window. I was deeply astonished at noticing that three horrible faces with diabolical expressions had suddenly appeared at the windowsill, and were asking in a loud voice, "What's going on? Is Fernando coming or not?" No one answered. I noticed, however, that Aniceto gave them a sobering look, and this gesture alone compelled them to disappear. A half hour passed, during which the doctor and Mr. Januario, practically unconcerned about the dying man because of his improvement, had begun an animated conversation about the world's problems. Aniceto took advantage of the peaceful atmosphere and began to remove Fernando's spirit body from its remains. I noticed that he had begun the operation from the heels, finishing at the head, to which the dying man seemed to be attached by a long cord, like that of a newborn child. Aniceto broke it forcefully. Fernando's body shuddered, calling the human doctor to the new situation. The process had been neither short nor easy. It had lasted several minutes, during which I saw our instructor use all the means of his concentration and perhaps of his magnetic energies. Informed by Mr. Januario, the deceased's grieving family entered the room noisily. The discarnate's mother, however, helped by Aniceto and the spirit physician who had brought us there, gave her son the assistance he needed. A few minutes later, while his family sobbed over the corpse, the little expedition consisting of three spirits, the two women and the clinician, left, carrying the discarnate to the assistance institute. I noticed that they didn't leave by means of volitation, but walked like ordinary mortals. I was extremely impressed. I was especially intrigued by the appearance of those satanic faces when the window was opened. Why such contempt for a sufferer? As we left the residence, our instructor looked at me attentively, and before I could formulate a question, he explained. Don't worry too much about those rogues waiting for our poor brother, Andre. They were unable to enter the sick room, solely because the mother's noble presence prevented such an assault. And after remaining silent for a few moments, he added, each individual in life cultivates the affections he prefers. Fernando liked unruly companions, so it wasn't unusual that they were waiting for him at the time of his return to real existence. In Hebrews 12, Paul of Tarsus affirms that humans are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Well, this information was addressed to the human spirit nearly 20 centuries ago. Everyone, then, has the invisible entourage to which they are devoted on earth. Later on, when society learns the grandeur of the lessons of the gospel, all people will be more careful in choosing their witnesses. Saying goodbye. After numerous other spirit activities, the week of service during which Anicetus had allowed us to accompany him came to an end. We had followed our noble instructor through varied and complex tasks. Stationed at Isabel's inviting temple, we had assisted a considerable number of patients, as well as other disturbed, prostrated, corrupted and dying brothers and sisters. Our guide had improvised wonderful resources for every case, and was always attentive and optimistic. Those few days of new work had filled my mind with new thoughts and my heart with sentiments that I had not known before. In contact with Anicetus's revelations within the domains of electricity and magnetism, all my former knowledge about medicine had been reformed. The mind's ascendancy in the body's equilibrium, its radioactive forces, the field of bacteria, a broader vision of organized matter, all compelled me to sustain a new scientific concept in the art of healing infirm bodies. 311. An understanding of the divine doctor, who restores the health of the immortal spirit, had developed in my soul. This extensive clarity, which now made my spirit rejoice, provided me with a deeper knowledge of Jesus. Thus, I understood that faith does not consist of an affirmation of the lips, nor of joining an established church. In the sectarian sphere I had searched for faith in vain, in common arguments, in outward worship that changes every day. Yes, faith was a spring of living water being born spontaneously in my soul. It had been transformed into a profound reverence, allied to the highest concept of service and responsibility before the sublime bestowals of the Eternal Father. I had found a treasure inaccessible to destruction and a non-transferable asset, which had been born and consolidated within me. When our instructor said it was time to go back, I definitely felt like a different person. By discovering my own inner world, I had the impression of having received the news directly from the Lord Jesus. How could I ever repay our esteemed Anicetus for such a capitalization of immortal assets? A prayer service had ended the last weekly meeting at Isidoro and Isabel's home. The ongoing work had been an arena of observations and experiences that were always new. A large number of Anicetus's friends had gathered around the instructor, eager to share in the light of the conversation and the goodbyes. Our devoted guide offered to everyone some words of encouragement, optimism, happiness and trust in the Lord, like the prince in the legend whose mouth was an inexhaustible fountain of spiritual gold. Vicente and I had moist eyes as we wished to express to him verbally our recognition of the blessings we had received, but as we approached him, he smiled and said, "Let's thank Jesus for everything he has given us." And taking the Bible as if he wanted to focus the subject on the love of holy things, he read aloud from the second chapter of Solomon's Proverbs, "My son, if you will accept my words, and keep my commandments so that you may incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding, if you clamor for understanding and lift up your voice for knowledge, if you will seek it as silver, and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Then he placed the sacred book on the table and commented, "Let us remember the Lord as we say farewell. Let us reaffirm our commitment to work and witness, my brothers and sisters." In this short passage from Proverbs, we find many words of interest to Christian minds. To accept the divine commandments and keep them, to keep one's ear alert and one's heart enlightened, to ask for understanding and intelligence, lifting our voices above lower objectives, to seek the treasures of Christ and his plan of work. Such things represent the noble effort of one who truly desires divine wisdom. Let us not forget these duties. Since our dear friend had paused, a brother begged him to continue his interpretation of the text, but Anicetta replied in a fraternal tone, "That won't be possible right now, my brother. Other obligations are calling us from far away." And speaking particularly to Vicente and me, he added, "Since we'll be returning by the ordinary road, we can wait for our friend Isabel to give her our thanks and goodbyes." A few moments late, Isidra's dear wife, having abandoned her body to the repose of sleep, came over to us with her spirit husband in answer to Anicetto's mental invitation. He expressed his sincere gratitude to her, spoke of our happiness and the holy opportunities for service that divine benevolence had given us. Doña Isabel was moved and thanked him, showing the tears of gratitude that dominated her spirit. "Noble Anicetto," she said, wiping her eyes, "please come back as often as possible to our humble home. Teach me patience and courage, my kind friend. If you can, don't let me stray from my motherly duties, which are so difficult to fulfill in the flesh, where unworthy interests violently collide. Support my obligations as a servant of the gospel of our Lord. Deep longings for my spirit family have rent my heart at times. I would like to take my children to the higher spheres and incline them toward the good, so that our divine union on the higher planes of life is not delayed. Homesickness for Nosola pierces my soul, at times threatening my humble work on earth. Anicetto, please don't forget your poor and imperfect friend. I know that Isidora follows me step by step, but he and I need friends who are strong in the faith, like you, who revive our spirits on the journey of Christian duty." Sister Isabel could not continue, because the tears had choked her voice. Anicetto, with shining and serene eyes, embraced her like a father and said gently, "Isabel, continue with your witnessing and don't be afraid. We will be with you, now and forever. Many admirable individuals have had duties, but let's not forget, my daughter, that Jesus experienced duty and sacrifice in the world. We shall not lack the tender care of our vigilant guide on the road to redemption. Keep your spirits up and press on." 314. Then, looking directly at all of us, he exclaimed, "Now, my brothers, help me pray." And holding Isabel and Isidro as one in his heart, Anicetto lifted his eyes and spoke with sublime beauty, "Lord, teach us to receive the blessings of service. We still do not know, beloved Jesus, how to understand the extent of the work you have entrusted to us. Enable us, O Lord, to form the conviction in our soul that the work of the world belongs to you, so that vanity will not insinuate itself into our hearts through the appearance of good. Give us, O Master, the spirit of consecration to our duties and unconcern for the results, which belong to your love. Teach us to act without the fetters of the passions so that we may recognize your holy purposes. Beloved Lord, help us to be your loyal servants. Beloved Master, grant us your instruction, righteous judge. Lead us on straight pathways, sublime physician. Restore our health, compassionate shepherd. Lead us to the spring of living water, wise engineer. Give us your blueprint, magnanimous administrator. Inspire us in our tasks, sower of good. Teach us to cultivate the field of our soul, divine carpenter. Help us to build our eternal home, caring potter. Patch the vessel of our heart, watchful friend. Be tolerant of our weaknesses, Prince of Peace. Have compassion on our fragile spirits. Open our eyes and show us the highway to your kingdom. Ill. Anicetto fell silent, with moist eyes that were finding it difficult to hold back their tears of gratitude. I joined the noble caravan that would be returning with us to Nosola. End. Someone reading one of the books by the spirit André Luis might think it is pure fiction. In the preface to the spirit Emmanuel acknowledges this possible reaction, explaining that it is because the landscapes, observations, activities and events it depicts seem so physical. Accustomed to a vague, nebulous and idle notion of heaven, The reader may be taken aback by the activities of discarnate human beings as they continue to learn and work for the good in the spirit communities they inhabit as they proceed on their evolutionary journey. J. The reader might also be surprised that these discarnates actually take part in the lives and relationships of the incarnate residents of the material world. Discarnate spirits who have not managed to fully disengage themselves from their bodies do not realize that they have died, and they remain attached to the things, situations and persons of the physical realm. Vindictive, rancorous discarnate obsessors inhabit both existential planes. Reveals the intense, organized, disciplined and productive activity of spirits devoted to working for Jesus in the physical and spiritual realms. Emmanuel explains that the book is, quote, a partial account of 1 week of spiritual work by messengers of the good as they work alongside incarnate humans. Above all, it portrays the character of a conscientious emissary and generous benefactor in the person of Anicetto, and it stresses the need for moral discipline for those devote themselves to the noble activities of the faith in the arena of service. S. account will enable the reader to understand that human beings are immersed in an ocean of interactions with their discarnate brothers and sisters, and consequently they sometimes experience the unpleasant and negative effects of the interference of adversaries and enemies whom they as a result of acts and omissions in their present or past lives. However, they always rely on the help of good spirits if they endeavor to connect with them through prayer, spiritual study and doing the good. The end of book.